This is LBC with Nick Abbott.
Schools have begun deploying virtual reality to supposedly help pupils cope with stress caused by impending exams, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, difficult home lives, and so on. 15 secondary schools in the London borough of Sutton are using VR headsets made by a firm called Phase Space, a pilot in conjunction with the local NHS Mental Health Trust. Let's talk about this with Fevzi Turkalp. Fevzi is editor of GadgetDetective.com. Hello, Fevzi.
Hi.
Seems a bit odd, this, given that one of the main things that causes stress is screen time. Can more screen time really be the answer?
You know, that was my very first thought on it. And then I tried to think about it a bit more deeply. And there is a possibility that something like this could help. I mean, first of all, it's something that lasts 7 minutes. And it's designed to help students when they get to the point where they would either leave a lesson, a school lesson, or be excluded for this, what they euphemistically call dysregulation. So the idea is that this is meant to be a 7-minute reset to get the child back into class quickly rather than them losing the rest of the lesson or the rest of the day falling behind and, you know, exacerbating their problems. It's not, I don't think it's meant to be a sort of a fix to the underlying woes, but it very much depends on how they're going to use it and how successful this is. I mean, it's still you know, in pilot phase with this.
Yeah, it seems like a high-tech response to an age-old problem. It struck me first as sort of like over-medicalising.
Mm-hmm. I thought Soma. I was thinking of Brave New World and, you know, keeping people calm for the good of the greater good, as it were. But, I think if it works and it's a tool and not a substitute for help, then you know, that's a great thing. I think the danger is that, you know, mental health services are hugely underfunded in this country, and there will be a temptation to use this instead of looking at the you know, the underlying problems. Yeah, something like this will not solve bullying, will not solve trauma, will not solve hunger, will not solve a difficult home environment, you know, and it shouldn't be used in that way, even if it does work, even if you know, this is not a completely new technology. It's a step forward. If you think of it as a guided meditation or relaxation. But what they did is quite an interesting test where they ran a very similar program on the screen of a phone, which isn't obviously as immersive as having a VR headset on. And the claim is that the immersive experience was far more effective. So you could see it as a far more immersive version of something that already exists in a similar form. But, you know, I do have some misgivings about it. I worry about dependence, that people, instead of learning to deal with the real world, as it were, sort of escape into a virtual world. Although it is more like a relaxation exercise than a game or a VR world. But still, I think this sort of thing has to be monitored carefully to see if there's any actual real evidence that it works, and then used as a tool in a toolkit, but not as a replacement for what we know works, which is, you know, social services and mental health services.
Yeah. If I was the kind of kid that acted up, though, and this this was offered to me,
yeah,
I might think that perhaps you're encouraging pupils to claim that they're stressed so that they get to skip out of class and have a little, you know, me time.
Yeah. But yes, and that's true. And, you know, you can see there's all sorts of things that could go wrong with a service like this. But there is a potential for it to do some good. And if it is literally 7 minutes, that's not much longer than a kid saying, you know, can I go to the bathroom, please? You know, it's literally some sort of timeout that's meant to give rise to a reset and get someone back in. And I do think that, you know, the people suffer stress for all sorts of reasons, and, you know, some of them very legitimate reasons. And the hope what it could achieve is maybe preventing so many kids from, you know, eventually being excluded from school altogether or misbehaving, and their academic careers going to hell. But I'm also with you that I can see that this could be misused by students, teachers, and by the state, who doesn't want to fund proper mental health services.
Yeah, I mean, they do make a big deal about it's only 7 minutes, but of course, you know, you get up and then you walk out of the class, that's a couple of minutes, and then you walk down the corridor to where the VR headset is, and that's 5 minutes, and then you plug the VR headset in, and that's another five, and then there's the seven, and then there's the reverse trip all the way back again, and that's the best part of an hour. Basically, that's a whole lesson, basically, isn't it?
Yes, and also, where's the supervision? Is a child going to just do this on their own? Someone's going to have to go and get this thing from under lock and key, I would imagine, because these are expensive bits of equipment.
I mean, when I was talking about medical, over-medicalising, I mean, what I had in mind was that one of the main reasons that they say that this is applicable is for students who get stressed out about exams. Well, who doesn't get stressed out about exams?
I can see in principle that something like this could be really useful, but I can see so many ways in which its implementation can fail, and there's a lot that can go wrong with this. And as I say, against the backdrop of underfunded services, I just think that there'll be a huge temptation to, you know, misapply these services.
Do you think that people are taking too much account of students who say that they are stressed? Because according to one report, 74% of school children report high levels of stress. I mean, that seems quite high, doesn't it?
Mm. Yeah, and I think a lot of it is actually the use of technology, and, you know, the sooner we can ban smartphones in schools, the better it will be for all concerned, frankly. Look, you know, it's difficult to sort the wheat from the chaff. I mean, some people are bullied and they're stressed. Some people are abused at home and they're stressed, and the signs of it can be anything from subtle to obvious. So, you know, we can't treat all stressed students as being drama queens, you know, but there are people that are stressed for very good reasons. But my concern is, you know, are we going to say, oh, this child has been accessing this service, what's the underlying problem? Is there an underlying problem? Or are we just going to say, well, we'll manage it in this way? And are we putting a lot of pressure on schools to deliver these sorts of services, whereas actually, you know, schools are meant to be for education?
Yeah, I just wonder if it's just in the same way that we over-medicalise and over-diagnose, maybe we're over-egging the technology side of this. I mean, is there any difference really to putting on a virtual reality headset and having pretty lights play on your eyes to, I don't know, just taking your mind off it by reading a comic or looking out the window or going and playing some sports or just deep breathing?
Yeah, and I think the sports thing is really good. But, yeah, I mean, as I say, I think the method of delivery here is interesting because they're using virtual reality. But the underlying idea of sort of guided visualizations, meditation, relaxation exercises, you know, that's as old as the hills. But the claim is that it's more effective because it's more immersive. So, you know, look, I think this is the sort of thing that can be experimented with. But at the same time, you know, bear in mind, this is a commercial company. At least it's a British company. One of the co-founders, interestingly, I think, was formerly the head of BBC VR. So although there are sort of medical and scientific people involved in the development, the people who co-founded the business come from a VR, media, games, virtual reality type background. So, you know, but they've done a lot of work with St. George's Hospital, and I think there's someone called Dr. Eileen O'Brien who's involved, who's a consultant psychiatrist. So I think it's got some chops. I think that from a commercial point of view, this is going to be a big area, and if we got British companies developing this area, that's a good thing. But we shouldn't be experimenting on children. You know, I think that we have to be very careful how these are presented and how the results are recorded and what safeguards there are for the children that avail themselves of this pilot project.
And you know how addictive phones are with their beeps and their bongs and their social media and everything that's associated with them. I wonder how addictive these kind of meditation tools on VR headsets might become.
Well, there's possibly worse things than being addicted to meditation. I think, you know, it comes back to this point that technology is neither intrinsically good nor evil. It depends on how we use it. So social media is quite, I don't know why we use the word evil, but evil. it's not designed to benefit us. It's designed to benefit them by engendering certain emotions that are not helpful. That's not anything to do with the internet per se, but rather the business model. So if technology can, I don't think screens are necessarily in and of themselves harmful, but if it can be used in a way that helps people calm, then I think that there's a benefit to it. But I do worry that in the longer term that people might retreat into these sorts of technologies and use it as, you know, the people who are not diagnosable, let's say, might just use it to retreat because it's addictive in the way that people maybe retreat into games and so forth. But I think from what I understand of this, it's not a form of entertainment, and a lot of people would find it quite boring if they're not genuinely stressed, right? There's a lot of people, when you try and meditate, they can't, and their mind's always going somewhere else. But that's not, I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that there can be some real benefits to this. I just worry about how it will be used and how it will be implemented, and, you know, it will be an excuse not to fund things that should be funded.
It's almost as though the screen is taking over our life. It is now the repository for everything. It's the way we communicate with each other. It's the way we are entertained. It makes us stressful, and now it decreases our stress. I mean, it's almost as though actual real life is fading into the distance.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, if you think of it, that a brain has no senses, right? A brain gets electrical stimulation from your senses, from your eyes and your ears and your skin and smell and all the rest of it. And where we're heading to with the technology is that those electrical stimulations of the brain will be provided by technological senses. So at the moment we're looking at physical screens, we're even looking at VR headsets, which have just got little screens in them. They're still screens of a sort, but eventually we will implant things into us that stimulate us, our senses, in a way that the realities that they produce, the virtual realities that they produce, will not be discernibly any different to the reality that our senses feed us. And, you know, our senses don't always feed us, you know, reality anyway. I mean, there's quite a lot of theory on, you know, memory and how we perceive the world and whether the narrator in our brains is actually giving us, you know, a true picture of what's going on around us. So you know, there's these philosophical points to be had. But I do think in the longer term, you know, putting aside stress and mental illness and the rest of it, where we're going with all of this is the ability to live in worlds of your choosing. And they will be artificially generated. And inevitably, a lot of them will be far more palatable than life on this planet.
It sounds very much like you're talking about the Matrix. I'm not having Elon Musk put a chip in my brain.
Yes, but look, I mean, there are people who can't bear their day-to-day existences. They look at Trump, they don't feel they can do anything about it. They think the world is going to hell in a handcart. And you know, some people choose one way out, and this will be another way out.
Yeah, I guess it's better than smoking horse. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it is or not, but you know, I think just from a if I put my technological hat back on, I think this is these technologies, these immersive technologies, along with the ability of AI to create worlds in real time and react with us, are coming. They're very, very seductive technologies. If you think games are computer games are addictive, you haven't seen anything yet. And bad or good, this is the way it's going.
Good to talk to you, Fevzi. Thanks so much for that. That's Fevzi Turkout, the editor of GadgetDetective.com.